What's up, guys? Welcome to Rice and Beans. We're back with another installment. And so for all you foodies, fatties, huskies, and heifers out there, you are going to love this one. Big O and I have got a very food-centric lineup because we have who the spotlight comedian is. Big O, what's up, man? How you been?
Been all right. And I'll have you know that I'm not fat. I'm just big boned.
Me and you both, man. Me and you both. So for the folks watching on YouTube, you can see we're going all out with the food theme this time. So we get the taco truck and some Big O's homies have joined us.
Right in the back there, macking out on the Mackey D's. Hey, you know what? This is going to be a good one because three guests is who we're going to be showcasing today.
Yep. He's big. He's really big in comedy.
He loves cake, and his son don't wear deodorant.
If you haven't guessed it by now, we're talking about Fluffy, Mr. Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh, yes.
A very, very, very funny guy. I've watched everything he's ever done. I watched his show, and the guy's just spot on every single time. I don't care how fat he is. He's funny as hell. Like I fucking die laughing at all of his fucking jokes, dude. They're great.
Yeah, he brings a lot of family humor into his stand-up routine. We go through all the stages of his son's stench and life in the real world and how he's coping. So it makes it really fun because it's an attachment to what we go through on a daily basis with our families as well.
Right. And if you were wondering what it was like to grow up Mexican, Fluffy hit it pretty much hit the nail right on the head. A lot of that stuff. Yeah, that's true. Stereotype for a reason.
Oh, yeah. I've been hit by my grandmother before her passing, right upside the head. And she was mad at me and she'd do, oh, pomodorcito, and then make it all better afterwards. It's one of those Mexican family things, you know, don't do it. I'm going to hit you, but I love you.
The fatal flying chancla.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've been hit by a chancla once or twice and a belt more than once.
Right. I don't think you can officially be considered Mexican unless you've been hit by a chancla.
Oh, yeah.
I think definitely. It's like one of those rites of passage things.
A second thing about Mexicans, too, and a lot of people don't know this, but Mexican America is they liked a new call sign. So chanclas were in Mexico. But here in America, a lot of the younger versions or younger generation of Mexicans, they do a. They give you that little smack sound. Get out of my face. Get out of here.
That's one of my fondest memories was a little game we like to, my brothers and I like to call, try to guess who she's going to throw it at first.
One of my favorite games, me and my brother used to piss off our tia, my mother's sister, and she hated kids, especially us, because we're little rugrats, and we'd do the bob and weave as she's trying to grab us and hit us upside the head with her chancla.
Yeah, I remember that dance. And then another little game we like to play called Dodge the Wooden Spoon Handle.
You know how you lost, right?
Yeah, there was a slight sting at the end.
Oh, brings you back to old Chavez Ravine there, right? When they threw you out of there.
Yeah. They said, get the fuck out of here. We're going to import other types of Mexicans that are actually going to make us money.
Oh, Chavez Ravine. Your Dodger Stadium is built now.
Yeah, I didn't grow up too far from there. So it's... yeah, like I heard the stories and I was like, man, it's fucked up. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
But then at the same time, I was like, you got paid though, right? I mean,
not everybody got paid. There were people that took the money and ran. There were people that didn't take the money and got their asses beaten up and their houses demolished and everything inside destroyed. And they were thrown off and lost everything. So you have a little bit of both.
If it were me, I would take the fucking money. Fine. I can go buy a bigger house now. Fuck that. I'm out. Peace.
Peace out.
And then at that time, you know, like fucking, it wasn't expensive like it is now. Like,
yeah, that it certainly wasn't. But my gosh, man, for, you know, the rezoning and everything that goes on with the, you know, council and everything else, how they let this happen was just a travesty. How do we get to that? Let's talk about food, goddammit.
We were talking about growing up Mexican, and so it's like one of those things that you learn growing up Mexican is that at some point you're going to get screwed.
Yeah, my former self right over here eating the Mackey D's fries over here, he knows.
Look at him. Screw you guys, I'm out of here.
He doesn't look like he's run a day in his life.
Only for the chocolate cake.
Right.
You know, and growing up Mexican too, you know, that's some of the best days I remember. Growing up in San Diego back in the 70s, right? The mid to late 70s and a little part of the early 80s, my dad would take us down to Tijuana across the border and we'd eat tacos and stuff. My dad goes, yeah, go ahead and just get it. And we'd like, what's this meat? And then all we hear from him and you know, some of my uncles was raton, gato, caballo. And we didn't know. We're like, okay, whatever meat.
Hey, do you see any cows around here?
No. Well, I saw a lot of rats and cats.
That reminds me of Demolition Man. She's like, where do you think that meat comes from? He's like, cows. He's like, do you see any cows around here? They're in the sewer.
Donde es un meat? Raton.
Yeah.
Oh, a good burger.
Rat burgers.
Better than Taco Bell.
Right? If I'm going to get diarrhea, I may as well be from something adventurous.
And it came with a beer.
Right? Best part. And you know, that was one of the, you know, like there were some downsides. You had to be, you know, pretty agile and have to adjust to incoming flying objects, but there were rewards. There was really good cooking. I remember that.
Oh yeah.
And I think it was funny because I don't know if my parents had just got sick of fucking having Mexican food all the time, because, you know, they were first generation here. Mm-hmm. And so then they started, like, I remember having more of like different kinds of foods other than Mexican food, like for the majority of the time that I grew up and I lived in that house, was like they made other kinds of foods. Like, kind of had gotten burnt out on Mexican food, so once in a while they would make it, but for the most part it was like everything else. But
yeah, so growing up in San Diego, and then recently visiting as an adult, I go down to Old Town San Diego right there, and they have a series of restaurants right there on the strip where they have the old, you know, the old town square and everything like that. And there's a restaurant that I always like to go to. It's Old Town Mexican Cafe. And it's one of a few that actually have the ladies making fresh tortillas right there. Ain't nothing better than a fresh tortilla. I tell you what.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, anytime I can get them, like, I know how to make them, but I'm just fucking lazy because it takes a long time and I never fucking roll them in a circle. Mine always come out like football shaped. So like there's that. I mean, like, I cheat and get that tortilla press, but then I feel like I have to turn in my fucking Mexican card.
Yeah, it's not just that. You have to make the right ingredients to mix it, because otherwise it becomes a wafer. Yeah. So You really got to do it. And I remember growing up and my grandma and my aunts making fresh tortillas and putting butter in it. So you have a bunch of little Mojado kids running around with sword tortillas hitting each other and butter running down to the elbow as we're eating it, laughing our butts off. And then all of a sudden we hear the ringing bells, not of the ice cream truck. We're talking Mexicans. It's a panadería. They had their own truck.
Yeah, we had a bakery out here that it looked like this old fucking hearse, and he would pull up and he would open the back doors and like pull out all these fucking drawers and like every kind of fucking donut and fucking candy. And like, he had all the Mexican candies too, like everything that you fucking want.
Yeah. We'd be running around and all of a sudden we hear my aunts and my grandmother yelling out, bam, 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 because my brother, he was the eldest of all of us at the time. At the time, obviously, but he would mix up the words. And so my grandmother was teaching him that was pan or panderia. And he would just say, pan, nan, 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 nan. And so my grandma would say that, knowing he would understand that. And so whenever we heard that, all the kids would just coagulate into a group and try to get money as my grandfather was throwing it in the air practically. Now, we only had two rules for the Banderia truck, and that was to get the coffee cake pig for my grandfather and get the strawberry filling with the strawberry cake for my grandmother. Anything else we wanted, we can get. And so we had like $5 or $6, and everybody was just like frosting filled, sugar intense Mexican high.
And you know, like you were talking about the tortillas, and it kind of reminded me about one of Fluffy's stand-ups where he talks about where he was in India. And it's because I used to work for a company that was, you know, Indian, like Indian based. And so I got into like, you know, eating Indian food, and it's really good. And like there's a lot of similarities between that and Mexican food. Like there's the tortillas on our side, and then what they have is called naan. And so basically the same shit. And so it was my turn to bring, we were working this project. So every Saturday somebody would bring, you know, lunch from home. So it's my turn. So I brought in like fucking enchiladas, and I brought in some tortillas and some rice and some beans. You know, they don't eat meat. So, you know, and so they're asking for like the salsa, and they're calling it chutney. And I'm like, chutney. I'm like, these are like the sauce. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. But every time like they would pass me sauce for Indian food, they're like, here, take the chutney. And I'm like, oh, okay. So like, I can't get it. It's the same thing. It's their fucking salsa.
You know, they're not too far removed. Both of them, if they're cooked wrong, could make you have diarrhea for weeks.
Oh, hell yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? My chutney is very good, motherfucker.
And a lot of this food is fucking great, dude. And it's like, but yeah, really similar. And it's just so like, it's a trip because they're so far, you know, from each other on the planet. It's, you know, you would think it would be all drastically different, and it's not. It's so similar. It was kind of like weird sometimes. I'm like, oh shit, yeah, that's a tortilla. That's not naan, but yeah, basically it's the same thing. He's like, yeah, it's like poor people's naan because it's all like skinny and flimsy.
I remember a time when I was in LA for training when I was working copiers, and you know, everything was Anglo-Saxon food for all you people out there as white food. So eggs and potatoes, you know, basic stuff. Mexicans like that too, but we flare it up a little bit. I was there for like 2 weeks for training, and you know, I was getting fed up, you know, just everyday stuff. So the Mexicans are working back there. I'm like, hey, Mexican it up for me. So they throw tortillas down and a couple other things, some chilies on the side. I'm like, hell yeah, that's a Mexican breakfast.
That's better.
That's growing a Mexican.
Yep. And it's funny because since my wife and kid aren't Mexican, they're white, and so they're transplants from out of state. And so it's been a trip watching them like kind of get to like eat all the same shit that I grew up eating, or try some of the stuff. Like the wife doesn't like certain types of Mexican candy. I gave her one that was like a chili one.
Oh yeah.
She kind of started crying. she said it tastes like dirt and chili. So I'm like, okay, not a big fan. But the kid loved it. He's like, can I get some more? I'm like, no, I don't have any more.
You're really sticking it to the white person doing it that way, right?
They didn't know what confetti eggs were.
What?
Yeah. They found out the hard way. And so like, if you're out there and you have no idea what I'm talking about, go ask one of your Mexican friends. And if you don't have any, go get some.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. They're obnoxious people. So confetti eggs are, they crack the egg so that they can save it, right? They dump the yolk and stuff out, and they rinse it out, and they just save these things. And then they get a bunch of confetti, and they just put it in the egg, and they close it up with some like tissue paper, and they just tape the top. And so what it's for is you just get them and you break them on your friends, or you break them on your friend's head, and you know, that's just an empty shell, so it doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. It's just like paper and eggshells go everywhere. So we're at Olvera Street, and they have no idea what these fucking eggs are. And I'm like, here, let me show you. And I'm like, I'll go look down. And they're like, okay. And I'm all, pah! And I hit them both of them. And they're like, what the hell was that? I'm like, that's what those eggs are for. She's like, you paid $1 for each egg for that? I'm all, yeah.
It was worth it.
I'm like, Yeah. Well, what's the problem? So yeah, no, but it's good, and I'm glad they're enjoying it. I'm like, you didn't have to see the bad part. I'm like, nobody's to the kids. I'm like, nobody's chasing you around with a fucking chancla or wooden spoon. So, you know, lucky for you.
You get mahalos like me and my brother. We used to get a regular egg in there with the confetti eggs, and we throw them at each other. And so my cousins got whapped upside the head with egg. It made for a lot of chasing and fun.
Yeah, man, it does. It's cool to see them like enjoying it, you know, or at least some of it. Yeah. But
what do you have, a restaurant in that area that you really, really have to go to for Mexican food?
There's a few, and then one of them was even on Man Versus Food. It's El Tepeyac, and this was the thing was I think he tried to eat the manual special, and so the manual special was like a gigantic fucking burrito. It's like made for like six people. And so that's the one that he tried to tackle. And then they have another one that like two people, maybe three, probably three, could put away or like divide between, you know, and that one's called the Hollenbeck. And so those are like really famous. So that place, if you go, like, you got to go off hours. Like, you can't go during lunchtime. It's like when, you know, pre-COVID, the thing was so fucking busy. Like, you would get there at 11:30 and there was already a line like 10 people out the door. Nice. So like it's hard as hell to get in there when during the rush, but if you get there like off hours, it's great. I really recommend that one. And then there used to be another really good one, but they took it down. They put up a Panda Express. It was called Tacos Michoacan, but it was everybody knew it as 24-hour tacos because that, you know, the joint was open 24/7. So after the fucking bars and the clubs closed down, that's where everybody fucking ended up. That place made a killing.
But you know those guys, after they got shut down, they started working at the Panda Express. That's where all the Mexicans go.
They just changed the outside of the store and kept all the kitchen staff.
I swear to God, every Panda Express here in Arizona that I go to is just a restaurant full of Mexicans, maybe one or two, you know, Asians, and we don't even know if they're Chinese or Japanese, but they're there.
Dirty knees. How about these?
Well, so where I grew up in California, not San Diego, but, you know, for the teenage years in Porterville, that's in between Fresno, Bakersfield, closer to Visalia, where Jack Burton's from.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Jack Burton is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You better know. And if you don't know, you better, you know, tell us and let us know via email. Maybe you might win something. In any case, out there in Porterville, there's a restaurant called Chaguitos, and they have tacos, tortas, and burritos, plus a pan shop, and they sell milk and all that other good stuff there. But I tell you what, every time I'm there and I need a burrito, that's the place to go. That shit is off the hook. Lengua like you wouldn't believe.
I knew a chick in high school, and that was her nickname. Lengua like you would not believe.
How long was her tongue?
It's not how long it was, what she could do with it.
Nice. Tongue punch or fart box, right?
That's what made her popular.
That's a keeper.
Man, so like as like I said, we were this episode is going to be really food centric, and you know, just so we in the planning, we got into talking about food, and it started getting into that conversation about like foods that we've had different places, and you know, the some of the best of the best, and you know, like those foodgasm type meals that you just, as soon as you eat whatever it is, it's just like, holy shit, like, you know, the total body fucking jizz.
So I remember one time when I was a teenager, my grandmother made me this isn't all Mexican food, by the way, but she made me a chile relleno, and it was a sin to make anything other than a traditional chile relleno, but she actually put hamburger meat in for me and seasoned it up a little bit differently, kept it Mexican style, and she never fed anybody that. She didn't feed any of my aunts, her children, any of my other cousins. She did it for me. I was like, holy crap. And that was the best food I ever had. I literally ate every last morsel of that fucker.
For me, the one that jumps to mind immediately is I was in Melbourne, Australia, and Fuck Checker and I are there on vacation, and we went to this steakhouse, and they had actual Wagyu beef and flown in the same day. I mean, Japan's not that far, so they got it, and the marbling on this thing was incredible. Like, I have a picture somewhere of it. I'll try to dig that up. Maybe I'll go ahead and throw some of these things up in the blog or on our social media, some of the foods that we're talking about. The marbling on this thing was just incredible. I'd literally never seen anything like that in my entire fucking life. And by this point I had traveled, you know, all across the country, been to a lot of the states where steak is fucking the king. Mm-hmm. This by far beat all of them hands down. You would have thought it was like comparing like an actual steak to like a fucking fast food restaurant steak. Mm-hmm. The best piece of fucking meat I've ever eaten ever. Like, you didn't even need the knife. Like, this, the fork basically just fucking cut through it. And the seasonings that they use, the Utah was minimal, so you just got that whole flavor, the mostly the flavor, like the meat, the fat, the juice, and then, you know, so like some salt and pepper. But hands down, like, best fucking steak I ever had anywhere, and it was only like $60, because again, nice. It's so close to Japan, they can, you know, just get stuff like that, you know, quickly. I mean, here, if you get actual Wagyu beef, like, you're paying at least $300 for one fucking, and it's like a 6-ounce steak.
Just remember the warning. If you're getting a lot of beer, massages every single day, you're out the pasture, you know, 4 or 5 times and drink more beer and more massages, you're probably going to get eaten at some time. So you might want to slow down a bit. My one moment where food was the epitome of anything was when we went down to New Orleans one year. It was probably about 8 years ago. And we were down there, you know, seeing the sights and everything, and we were getting hungry. Everybody was hungry. And walking down the streets there, you know, trying to find a restaurant that wasn't, you know, lying out to the streets and, you know, people packed in was difficult. And we kept passing this one restaurant. I was looking for a way to get in, but it looked like the wall was there for the whole thing. Turned out there was one door that was meshed in with the wall, so it looked like, you know, it was the wall. Finally, we were able to get in and figure out, you know, how to get in. And the restaurant was quaint and nice, and it was an Italian restaurant in New Orleans. Go figure, right? No French Creole, but Italian. We got down and started eating, and oh my gosh, I had this Italian steak. We had some risotto. We had a little bit of everything, and everything was like perfectly cooked. You just could not make a better meal. And I'm taking pictures. I don't take pictures on Yelp and anything else, you know, to share with anybody, but I was taking pictures of this food because it's so fucking magnificent. The way they season it, the way they cooked it, was just off the track. I don't think they're in business anymore, but my gosh, it was the one place to go to.
Nice. I'm really, really huge on pizza. Like, I won't ever fucking turn pizza down. I don't care if I had it the day before and the day before that. Like, pizza's always a yes for me. So there's this one pizza in particular, and it sucks because it's like a 6-hour drive from my house. But anytime I go up north, you know, towards this, like, the Bay Area, like San Francisco, San Jose, I always try to take a trip out to Berkeley, and there's this pizza place called Fat Slice. So one of my brothers and I used to go visit the bass player that's in the house band when he was going to college up there. So we get there, and his apartment is like maybe 2 blocks away from the main street where all the bars and that pizza place is. So we get up there late as fuck, and we're all drinking, and like, we're fucking hammered. So we go to this fucking pizza place, And I'm like, you sure this shit's going to be open? It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. He's like, yeah, they stay open till like four and then they're back open at like fucking 10 again. I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
We get there. There's a line at the fucking door. It's 3:30 in the morning and there's a fucking line. And so we fucking get this pizza and I'm like, fuck, dude, this pizza better be worth it. Like, I don't want to be drunk standing in line. I want to be drunk sitting down in a chair somewhere. Possibly getting ready to throw up, but I guess that's besides the point. So we get down on this pizza, we get back to this pad, and yeah, sure enough, ooh, that was worth every fucking minute of that wait. I mean,
you know what like, made it go faster is if you had Birkenstocks on.
Well, last time I went up there, somebody was like trying to sell me weed, and like, I mean, like obviously I had my own, like I drove my car up there that time. So I had my own shit with me, but he like fucking pulls out this like garbage bag full of like, of shit. He's like, I'll hook you up for $40 with this like fucking big ass bag. I'm like, if you're going to sell me $40, like it's that much like a quantity for $40. I don't want it. And I'm like, get that fucking hay away from me. I know what good shit is, motherfucker. And that's not it.
He was trimming his lawn earlier.
Yeah, dude. It was like fucking, there was branches in that shit.
Like in when Harold and Kumar go to White Castle.
Yeah. I mean, I wish it was that good. Then I might have even considered it. But no, this looked like, you're right, straight fucking grass clippings.
Marrying that bag, slapping that bag with the backhand.
I'm like, bitch, I don't pay for sugar leaf. Fuck that. That shit won't even get you high.
On the pizza thought, Pizza Hut back in the 80s. Oh, my God. That was a shit then. Back in the 80s when they had the big pan pizza. Then they took it out. Now it's cardboard.
You know what? Pizza Hut for me back in the day was like a rarity because my pops would only order from like the local joints.
Right.
So, because he didn't like, he said it tastes like it was frozen pizza, so he didn't care for it, so he wanted something that was like handmade, and I was like, okay.
So what year was this?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Okay, so in the 80s up until 90s, they were still doing the pan pizza with the dough that was refrigerated, but it was still fresh. Then they would put it in the pan, and then they put all your toppings, and it would rise up in the middle. It was more like a Chicago style pizza. But that was back then. And then in the mid-90s, they started working away from that. And then now it's just like a fucking cardboard with sauce on it. It just doesn't taste good.
Like Costco pizza tastes better.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, the other reason that he didn't really go to the chains too is because he had this, and this is like my second favorite pizza place. It's in a city called Alhambra. It's in California. And mm-hmm. It's called Angelo's Pizza. And it's a thick crust. They hand tossed, and they come in like, their smalls are pretty decent size. Like, mm-hmm. They're larges, and then they have like this huge one that they cut into like squares because it's too big to cut into triangles.
Is it like a sheet pan that they cook the squares in?
No, it's they make the pizza like normal. It's just fucking gigantic. Okay. And then when they bring it out, then they cut it into the squares. Okay. And then, so the fucking thing barely fits in my back seat. So like the last time I got it, I was like, I walked out to the car. I was like, oh shit. And I didn't want to like put it in the trunk and have it like sliding all over the place. And I'm like, fuck, please fit. And like, it just barely fit with like an inch to spare. I'm like, oh, thank God. That would have been embarrassing as fuck to have to call somebody. Yo, can you come pick me up? My fucking pizza won't fit in my car.
Yeah, get the half a pizza in there because you ate the other half to make it fit.
Right? I mean, if worse came to worse, I would have just gone back inside and be like, yo, can you give me another one of those big boxes and just took half and just like folded the stupid thing and put it in there? So...
On that note, there was a place out here in Arizona that had that type of pizza. It was called Old Chicago, and it was Chicago style pizza. And you better believe it, man. A small single serving pizza was about an 8-inch diameter, and it was about 5 inches height. So you're eating at least half of that and being stuffed. It was some good shit, man. Another thing was, I talked about it on our current or our last episode, and that was ramen in Japan. And ooh, you can't beat that, man. I tell you something. You wouldn't think noodles and broth would fill you, but ramen in Japan is a total different entity. They do a good job here in the U.S. Some of the ramen houses, they try to stay true to tradition. But if you're in Japan and you're in Tokyo and you're in Tokyo Station, just go down to the sub-levels. And I don't remember if it's the fourth level down or the fifth level down. There's about 10 or 12 ramen houses down there. Choose any of them. You don't have to go to the high class one. You can go to the shitty one, and that food is just the best food you ever had in your life.
Nice. I seafood I would imagine is really big out there.
Oh yeah.
Some of the best seafood that I've had has been at like Japanese restaurants, like sushi restaurants, like the high end joints where everything's like killed that fucking day.
Mm-hmm. Or at Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco as well.
Yes.
I've had good food there before.
It's funny because Buckchecker will eat seafood like sushi, sashimi, but she won't eat cooked fish or or crab, right? Except found out the hard way in San Francisco. Right. We're at Fisherman's Wharf, and I made the mistake of trying to just get her to try a little piece of the crab because I told her, look, it's fresh. They pull them straight out of there, and it goes right into the pot. Like, it doesn't get any more fresh than that. Mm-hmm. And so she tried a piece, and she's like, oh, man, that's good. Here, give me another piece. And so she's like eating and eating and eating. And I'm like, meanwhile, I'm standing there holding this fucking plate with a bowl of clam chowder in the other hand, so I can't do shit about it. And I'm watching a fucking $30 crab disappear. And I'm like, yo, I want some of that too. She's like, you should go get you one. This is delicious. Oh. And like, again, bowl in one hand of clam chowder, like, because that's what she was eating. And then she's like fucking making me hold the plate of the crab while she fucking eats off of it. And I'm like, I'm like, I just started drinking the clam chowder out of the fucking bowl.
Too bad it wasn't a day like today. Blowjob and steak day.
Right? One of the best days of the year. I know everybody's into Christmas, but I mean, shit. I'm all for this day.
You know what? If she's complaining that she's not getting steak, she's getting tube steak. Just get down there and get to work.
You get your fill up to your heart's desire. It's the day for it.
What's that stuff in the center of steak? Ganache.
The secret seasoning. And so there, the lobster roll that I had at this one spot, like all the way hole in the wall spot in Boston, was fucking incredible. That by far was the best lobster roll I've ever fucking had. It was a business trip, and I landed with a couple of like executives that like were really familiar because they had been to that customer site a bunch of times, so they already knew the area, and so they knew about this spot. So they're like, hey, are you hungry? I'm like, yeah. They're like, do you like lobster? I'm like, fuck yeah, I do. But I'm
okay,
like,
first off, I hate to interrupt you, uh-huh, but I'm more than certain they didn't say that.
What?
They said, hey, we're from Boston, and we're going to take it from lobster.
No. We were all traveling from here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They had just like been out there. They had spent more time on the ground out there.
Okay. So, I thought they were from there.
Oh, no. But the clients that were from there, it was funny because I would be like, hey, can you say park the car for me one time? He would just look at me like, man, fuck you.
Gotta pack the car. Awesome. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. So you're talking about your lobster roll.
It was funny, and everybody sounded like Family Guy there.
Except Tom Brady.
And so the lobster roll was fucking incredible. I thought they were talking about going to like a meal because, you know, they're executives and they're like pretty high up there. So I was like, oh, man, they want to go to a fucking restaurant. I just got off two goddamn planes and I'm like, I'm dressed like shit. And they're like, do you like lobster rolls? I mean, I'm like, yeah, they're pretty good. And he's like, wait, have. And then the other one turns around and goes, have you ever had a lobster roll outside of California? I'm like, no. And he's like, okay. He's never had a lobster roll. Let's go to this joint. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. So we go. And yeah, they were absolutely right. I had never had a lobster roll before because the one that came out of this place was just, it was huge. It wasn't like, they didn't skimp on the lobster. And it wasn't super expensive either. I think I paid like $18 for it. And it was a fucking big ass hoagie roll. And that shit was stuffed like with like lobster. And I was like, oh, fuck. I was way full afterwards. I'm like, fuck, that's the first time like a fucking fish sandwich ever bested me.
You ever had a lobster roll high?
I'm sure that would have made it like a lot better. And like, I probably would have finished the whole thing.
That's what she said.
I got to the point where I was like, fuck, I'm not going to finish this motherfucker. Just start eating the lobster. Fuck that bread. So I did. And by the time I got to like 3/4 of the way done, they were laughing at me. They were like, eat the lobster first and then fucking try to eat the sandwich.
Did you have a big old butter ring around your mouth there and all slobbering down?
Yeah, the gut all hanging out. And I was like, oh.
Undo the top button.
Yeah, one of them goes, I'm glad I don't have to share a bathroom wall with you. I'm like, yeah. I wonder how much paint's going to be left in the bathroom after I go tonight. But yeah, they're like, well, Chief, you better go home and take a shit and then go to sleep because we meet with the client 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Don't worry, I'm going to have the lobster perfume permeate over me.
And then the whole next day, I'm just like fucking, their air conditioning was like so-so. And I'm in like a fucking suit and I'm sweating and like I feel myself sweating the fucking butter from the previous night. I'm like... it smells like lobster.
You're licking your own skin.
I'm like, oh, shit.
Is this what it's like when I really sweat when I'm high?
So, speaking of all these fucking fatty foods and things that will contribute to making you fat, we decided to... look up some fun facts, and we're going to go ahead and put you guys out there to the test, too. And so I'll go ahead and play along with Big O and I. And this is a little game that you're familiar with. It's called How Well Do You Know? And this edition is Fat People. All right, Big O, so I've got some questions lined up for you, and we're going to go ahead and test your knowledge here of fat people and things about being fat. All right. Which country has the highest percentage of fat people?
Wow, which country? Well, the first notion in my head is the U.S. But there are some European nations that are catching up. That being said, I would still say the U.S.
No. You're going to think more South Pacific.
Really?
Yep. Yep. Really? Way closer to Australia and Indonesia.
Shit.
It's a smaller island. Now you got to take into account like Samoa, the American Samoans, you know what I mean? Like those types of...
they're not fat. They're just thick.
According to the CDC, they're fat.
I don't know. I've seen some Samoans that weren't fat. They looked like fat, but that was all muscle.
Well, it's one of those small islands. It's called Nauru, and they have, according to latest statistics, the highest percentage of fat people in the world.
What do they have? Two people on that island,
right? And both of them are fat.
Both of them pushing 500 pounds.
Reminds me of that fat joke where he goes, I know four fat people in this entire building and you're two of them.
Your mom's so fat she jumped in the sky and got stuck.
All right. So it's hopefully you guys are doing well out there. And some of you guessed it. A lot of you probably didn't. I had to look it up. All right. What are the three different colors of fat in the body?
Yellow, white, and brown?
You got two of them, white and brown. Yellow was incorrect. It's beige.
Oh, come on. That's another shade of yellow. Come on.
True, true. Well, close enough. We'll give it to him. All right. Here's a fun one. And if you've ever worked in a restaurant, I'm sure you've been asked to make this before. I know I had been asked many times.
A bowl of lard with hair in it?
That was my specialty.
So was the Corsican Brothers.
It's my signature dish. All right. What is the name of dipping sauce created by mixing ketchup and ranch dressing? The ranch dressing, in some cases, can also be substituted with mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah. What is the name of the dipping sauce?
Well, I'm Mexican. I have to be Mexican if I don't know this right off the top of my head. But I would say fry sauce.
I'll accept that. I know for a fact that in the Southwest and in parts of Utah, it is the same dipping sauce is also
is it referred called pus? To
as fat is fry sauce. The other answer is fatsup. Fat people ketchup.
Fats up. I like that.
Fats up. But yes, when Fuck Checker and I first started dating, I told her I was going to make her this. She's like, can you make me fry sauce? I'm like, what the fuck is fry sauce?
And she's like, because it's big in Salt Lake.
Yeah. She's like, oh, it's ketchup mixed with ranch. I'm like, that's fats up. You mean fats up? And she's like, what's fats up? I'm like, ketchup mixed with ranch, unless you want it mixed with mayonnaise, which I can also do. And she's like, I've never had it mixed with mayonnaise. She's like, but there's a term for that? I'm like, as far as I know, the term was fatsup.
hey, you want some fatsup, guys?
But so, you learn cool shit traveling around, getting to try new foods. So if you're out there and you've never heard of fatsup or fry sauce, go ahead and make you some. It's really easy. You get equal parts of ketchup and mayonnaise, or ketchup and ranch dressing, and you mix them together. And there you go. Easy peasy.
And you get an easily 10 pounds after the eating.
Exactly. All right. Moving on to the next question. What percentage of the human brain is composed of fat?
Wow. So I would think that a lot of it's fat for the content that it's in and the fluid and keeping everything gelatinous, so that way, you know, it can move around when you shake your head or hit something, like you would hit your head on the back of a police van during a motorcycle accident. Guilty. I would say a high percentage, but not more than half. I would say around 35%.
Ooh, almost. It's a little bit more than that. You're right. It is a high percentage. It is 60%.
Wow. Yep. So naturally we got fat jubbling around in our head, so we want to get and retain that fatness as well.
That's correct.
Still, we like the ladies who aren't that fat.
All right, well, let's go the other direction. Where on the body do fat cells not exist?
Wow. The tip of my penis. No, ladies, seriously, the tip of my penis. If you want to check, just give me a call or send me a text, email. You can check anytime you want.
Well, the one-eyed monster was close, but in this case, we're looking for eyelids.
Ooh. Yeah, those are a few feet in the wrong direction.
Still having to do with eyes, just the wrong kind of eye. You know what I mean? So, you know, like at the turn of the century, like people started like taking notice of like how fat people were actually getting, at least they did here. So this goes into our next question. In the 2000s, how many millions of dollars did airlines spend in additional fuel, due to the increased weight of passengers? Like what would you, it was in the millions. So how many millions do you think they spent?
Well, so I've never seen a bull fly first class, but I've seen a lot of bullshit fly up there. So So if we're talking about the amount of air travel in the 2000s, it was really high. For the amount of fuel at the time, it was pretty high too. I would say almost close to the from million to billion, close to the billions. So I would say around 550 million.
Close. A little less than that. And this was in the early, I guess the earlier 2000s when, according to this, but it was an additional 275 million Ooh. For an additional 350 million gallons of fuel.
Yikes, man. And you needed it to get that ass end up in the air.
Right. And that's why the peanuts are no longer free.
No, but they'll give you plenty of penis.
And now they fucking, if there's somebody that's on the fucking plane that has a peanut allergy, then they don't fucking pass out peanuts. It's like, why? I'm not gonna throw them at that fucking dude. I'm gonna eat them. Like,
well, they don't want you to touch their eyelids where there's no fat.
I was like, I don't even know who it is. Is it the person sitting next to me? Like, if you know what I mean, like if you have a peanut allergy, raise your hand and go trade with some, like go sit in the jump seat for a minute. Like,
yeah, really, go into the underneath of the belly of the plane where the car goes out.
It's so fucking dumb. Like, I can't believe, like, I'm getting punished because, like, fucking he got the shorted end of the fucking evolutionary stick.
So yeah, I've been on some cross-continental flights, and it's not like I get a bag of peanuts, lick my fingers, and walk down the aisle and touch everybody down the aisle. Right? Who's got peanut allergies?
Right, you just fucking crush them into dust and start blowing them at random people. There you go.
Just put it in the rebreather so it just permeates back through the blowers.
All right, so here's a good one. So Hardee's is a fast food chain. I believe it's owned by the same company that owns Carl's Jr. So depending on what side of the country you're on, you're either going to have a Hardee's or you'll have a Carl's Jr. But basically, they're the same thing.
Both in California.
Right. So two years ago, Hardee's fast food chain introduced the Monster Thick Burger. It contains 2 1/3 slabs of Angus beef, 4 strips of bacon, 3 slices of cheese, mayonnaise on a buttered sesame seed bun. All right, so what is your guess as to how many calories that one burger has in it?
Well, that's a lot of anus, so there's going to be a lot of calories. That's wrong for me to say. It was black anus. Anyway, we're looking at a high calorie. A burger is probably close to 1,000 calories. For that, you're probably pushing another 1,000. I would say 3,250 on the calorie list.
Ooh, a little bit over, but it is up there. It's the one single serving is 1,420 calories.
Really? It's that little? I'm going out to get one.
It says 107 grams of fat.
Yeah, but what's the amount of calories you're supposed to take within a day, a regular person?
I think it's less than that.
No, I think your total for one day is like 2,200 or something like that, max. So if you eat one of those right there, you've hit your caloric intake for that day. You want to be under that, but if you hit your max, that's it. You're done.
Shit.
You can't even have saltine crackers that day after that.
What a world.
God.
All right. So we asked which country in the world had the highest percentage of fat people. So let's make it a little bit more local. Which state in the union has the highest percentage of fat people?
Oh, I go crazy like that. Oh, you mean local, close by. Which state?
Mm-hmm.
Highest percentage fat. Well, so California is a good mix. Texas is a good fix because of the cattle in that area, but there's a lot of fine, thin women out there in both those states. So I'm going to have to go more to the center part of America.
Keep going.
Huh?
Keep going.
Keep going
east.
East?
Yeah.
Keep going east. Okay. New England?
A little farther south.
Okay. Georgia?
Close.
Okay, one of the Carolinas?
Nope.
Tennessee.
Think about the food that they got that they eat down there. In the South.
Trying to think which one? Alabama?
Mississippi.
Mississippi, huh?
Mississippi coming in at 25%.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yep. Yep.
What do they eat out there? Mud?
There was a... Just the list of the stuff that they referenced with that fun fact was covered in chocolate. And a lot of it was deep fried. And
okay. Speaking of something that's not good for your body intake that's covered in chocolate, Louisiana, they have Tabasco sauce, the Tabasco creation out there. And we went to a plantation. They had Tabasco chocolate.
Whoa.
And that actually tasted pretty fucking good.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, if you're down in Louisiana, try it out. Tabasco flavored chocolate. It is a shit. It is really good.
And if you guys are out there listening in Louisiana and you're fans of the show and you wanna send some to me and Big O, go ahead and just drop us a line and we'll tell you how to send some of that stuff over to us.
Yes, and I will not send you a picture of my butthole unless you want it.
All right. So here we got another one. Obesity can cause a condition in which a penis of normal length is buried below the surface of the pubic skin or within its own excessive shaft skin. The condition can cause other problems, including chronic infection, skin breakdown, and chronic inflammation. Mm-hmm. What is the name of this condition?
Garage door.
Close. It's buried penis.
What is on the menu today? We have buried penis. Oh, yes. I'll have that for being the wife. And some side salads.
How's your spotted dick and bangers?
Look and tell me.
That's going to be some shit. You get so fat that your fucking dick says, fuck it, I give up.
So gain weight, the padding above does extend out and it does make your penis smaller. So that's one good reason why you got to slim up and drop the weight so your dick gets bigger. Also, shave. If you shave the shaft and shave the balls, your dick looks bigger.
Is that why they do it in porn?
Yep.
It's more aesthetically pleasing.
Not only that, but a freshly shorn shaft is well deserved and feels nice throughout the day.
That reminded me of fucking Dr. Evil in Austin Powers.
My shaft is gently shorn. Nothing better in the world.
Yeah, that part.
I forgot the whole wording of that, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the scene. That's the one. All right, and this one is all for all the stoners out there.
What
kind of cannabinoids cause the munchies?
Wow.
And it's a really common stoner word that goes at the front.
Goes at the front?
Mm-hmm. Warren G did a song with Mr. Grimm about this.
So I haven't been doing weed in a long time. So I couldn't rightfully answer that. I'll just say Chiba.
It is endo.
Endo.
Endocannabinoids cause munchies. So cannabinoids are found in the human body. And when you smoke, the cannabinoids that are in the weed, they cause, you know, a reaction with the ones that are in your body. And so it elicit different types of responses. So the endocannabinoids are the ones that trigger the munchies.
So your cannabinoids, what are they called again?
Cannabinoids.
I was right. Cannabinoids mm-hmm. fight with other cannabinoids causing cannibalization, causing hunger, which then makes you want to eat more and then you get fat.
It's like when you go and drink, you go out and you meet your friends at the bar and you guys get smashed and then you want to eat. Similar reaction.
Nice.
All right. We got the last one here. And this one is a three-part answer. So go ahead and just again shout them out if you know. Who were the three fattest presidents?
Okay, so let's pause on that one because I already know the answers and I'm not just going to blurt them out.
Yeah, they don't need the whole song. I already know that they don't know. And no, Donald Trump was not one, but not number one, but he was number three, coming in at 240. Number two is Grover Cleveland, and he was 260 pounds.
Yikes.
And for the fattest president of ever award, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Taft, President Taft, coming in at 340 pounds.
God damn. Keep in mind now, back in the day when these were presidents, when these presidents were in office, they weren't so tall. I mean, they were pushing 5'9", 6 foot, not much taller. Trump's 6'3", at 240, so that's still fat, but those guys were huge.
Yeah, and then for at a time where most people were, like, you know, not fat or not that fat. Yeah, that was that was really fucking big.
And you know why they weren't that fat, right?
Because there wasn't that much to eat.
Yeah, and they couldn't afford what they could.
Because there wasn't a bunch of Mexicans in the kitchen cooking it for them.
And then said you got a white president that eats anything under the sun. Hey, who brought that cat in? Why? I'm going to eat it.
After he delivers the State of the Union and looks at a midget, get in my belly.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
All right, guys. Well, we are coming up on our time for this episode. It's been great. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this Fatsapalooza, learned a bunch of cool places to eat, and then some fat people trivia. We've still got plenty of more episodes left to go in this season, and so we're gonna be kicking them out once a week, just like always. Go ahead and check us out Mondays at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, and now that Big O and I are on the same time zone because of daylight savings, it's going to make it all that much easier.
And just remember, be kind to fat people. They love fries too.
Right? Make some fry sauce, keep tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Until next time, take a toke and watch all your worries blow up in smoke. Peace.
Peace.